Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter number 18 this morning. Exodus chapter number 18. And I want to be mindful of the time, so we're just going to read one verse of Scripture and jump right into the message. The Bible said in Exodus chapter number 18, it is discussing when Moses and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, come to meet him. And God gave me this message, and I couldn't find out a whole lot about Jethro, amen. So I called Brother Brian McBride. He's a good friend of mine. I called Brother McBride, and I said, "Brother McBride, can you tell me something about Jethro?" He said, "That is Jed's nephew, Ellie Mae's cousin." I said, "Wrong Jethro." Amen. And he said, "Well, that's the only Jethro I know anything about." Amen. So, we do know that he is the priest of Midian. I don't know much about. I've studied out the Midianites, and I know they're descendants of Esau. But I don't understand all about Jethro, whether he was worshiping Jehovah when Moses showed up to with his daughters from tending the sheep. But I do know after 40 years of Moses being with Jethro, Jethro comes out to meet Moses, and Moses tells him about all the travail that they had in the land of Egypt coming out, and he told them about all the triumphs. And the Bible said, Jethro made this statement, verse number 10, we'll read two verses of Scripture. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who have delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who have delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them." And I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes. He's above it all. Amen. Father, I pray you help us as we preach this morning. Use us, I pray, to be a blessing and a help to these men of God and these young people that's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say I appreciate Brother McCulley in this meeting, in the room, and the fine meals. I want to say that before I get in. I really have received help this week, and I appreciate the good preaching that we've heard. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we realize that Moses has testified about what all God had done. And Brother Chris, you made the statement that this storm may not be for you. It may be for somebody else. And we do know that God showed himself not only to Moses and the children of Israel through all they went through, but he very evidently showed himself to Jethro. You see, Moses has testified and said, "God's been good to me." And the next thing you see is Jethro's got his hands up and said, "Hey, he is above it all." Amen. In 2017, we're trying to serve God, and it seems like wickedness is abounding all around us. But I want to come by this morning and remind you, he is above it all. Amen. No matter what you face, he's still on the throne. Amen. I thank God. I heard a young preacher preach years ago. Thank God he's on the throne. He's at home on the throne answering the phone. Amen. I'm telling you, in this passage of Scripture, we realize that he is above the sovereign of Egypt. Amen. You know the story, and I'll not take all the time, but Pharaoh said, "We're going to do away with all the children of Israel. They're multiplying faster than us. They're going to rise up against us." And so he come up with a plan with the midwives to destroy those male children. And his problem was, his main agenda was get rid of the men. I believe America's number one problem is we've got a lack of men. We don't have a lack of males, but we have a lack of men. Amen. I'm telling you that we find in this, I don't want to get bogged down there, but it's sad that the large percentage of gamers, those that play games on the internet and everything, is from the age of 23 to 42. There's nothing wrong with you playing games with your children, but your children can't even get to the game because you're playing it. And you won't work a job to provide for your family. Amen. But I'm telling you, he's above the sovereign of Egypt. The sovereign of Egypt said, "I'm going to destroy them." In fact, Pharaoh had a problem. He said, "They're getting more than us." Pharaoh had a plan. He is trying to alienate the people. He's trying to discourage them. He's trying to do all he can to steal their shout, try to steal their joy. But God shows himself. He brought those 10 plagues in the land of Egypt to not only show to the Egyptians who God was, but to show to the children of Israel who God was. All those 10 plagues dealt, the Egyptians worshiped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of idols. But basically, it was the top 10 that God dealt with those 10 plagues. And he showed them over and over and over again that he's above them. Amen. I'm glad that he's above the prophets of Egypt. They could bring the plagues in, but they couldn't take them out. Amen. We see that he's above the sovereign of Egypt. I'm glad he's above the sin of Egypt. We live in a time where wickedness, who'd ever think, we're battling it in North Carolina. I know y'all battled it in Georgia. Now we got a liberal governor like y'all got that won't take a stand for nothing. Hey, man, who'd ever thought we'd have to argue over what bathroom to use? Hey, man, But I'm telling you, here we are. We're battling sin. And we battle, each as a picture of the world, as a picture of the pagan system of the world. Those plagues he dealt with, as I already mentioned, he dealt with. God is showing them that he's above the little g's of this world. Amen. I think about he's done that over and over again. When the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in the temple of Dagon, the next morning when they come in to worship their fish god, Dagon was laid down beside the little Ark of the Covenant. Philistines are not real smart people. They got ropes and chains and stood Dagon back up. The next morning when they come in, Dagon was busted all to pieces on the ground. God said, I'm above the gods of this world. Amen. I tell you, young people, the devil will paint a pretty picture of sin. He'll never show you the flip side of it. He'll never show you the end results of it. But I'm telling you, he's above the course of sin. He's above in the fact that he's above the control of sin. Brother Sutherland mentioned that he preached for us last year, and after he left, we started an addiction ministry, and it wasn't really because of him. It's because on a Sunday morning when I was about to start service, one of my Sunday morning only men, he's faithful, but he's faithful Sunday morning. I'm glad he's there Sunday morning. But he walked up and said, preacher, I need to talk with you. You know how this is, preachers. You're trying to get ready to preach, and last thing you're interested in is somebody parking crooked in the parking lot or something else like that, you know. And he walked up and said, I got to talk to you, preacher. He said, my wife caught me smoking crack cocaine this week. And I'm like, and he turns around and walks off. And I said, yeah, we definitely got to talk. Amen. And but this man feels like he cannot get victory. We know if we knew the number of people that sit in our congregation that's bound by prescription drugs, and they convince themselves they just simply cannot get over it. But I'm telling you, he is above the control of sin. I'm glad that he'd take the bottle out of the drunkard's hand. Brother Hensley preached and testified last night how when he got up and said that he was in a rock band, I never dreamed that. Looking at him, all the years I've known him, he's been a preacher, amen. But you look at what God's done in his life and how God has changed him and how God broke those chains asunder, how God got him off the hook, amen, how God set him free. I'm telling you, child of God, he's above the course of sin, but he's above the control of sin, amen. The Bible said that we're not Romans chapter number 6 verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Amen. I'm glad God can take the drunkard and God can take the drug addict and God can set them free and God can give them victory and God can give them satisfaction. We see that. Listen, it's not that we are, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. It's not that we're sinless, but if you're saved, you ought to sin less. Amen. You ought to have a desire to walk with God and please God and serve God. Amen. We see that he's able to cleanse us from sin. Amen. I'm glad he's above it all. Amen. I'm glad there's nothing beyond his power. He's above the sovereign of Egypt. He's above the sin of Egypt. He's above the suffering of Egypt. You read in Exodus chapter number 1, the Bible said they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and with mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field and service within. He made them to serve with rigor. In other words, Pharaoh's turning the heat up on them. Amen. He's causing them to suffer. And I'm glad he's above the suffering. I think of men of God that have afflictions in their bodies and have difficulty with sickness and pain, but yet they still have victory in their soul. Amen. They still have the peace of God. He's above the sovereign of Egypt. He's above the sin of Egypt. He's above the suffering of Egypt. I'm glad he is the comforter. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Brother Sutherland was preaching yesterday morning about depression. And I'm not saying God has ever been depressed, but he does know what it is to be depressed. He has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. What our problem is, we think when we're suffering, nobody knows where we're at. Nobody understands what we're going through. But I'm glad we got a sympathizing Savior that'll draw beside us. Amen. That paracletos, that one that's called alongside, that he is above it all. Amen. He's above the suffering, and he's above the sovereign of Egypt. He's above the sin of Egypt. He's above the suffering of Egypt. He's above the sorrow of Egypt. Brother Barker, I got to thinking, Moses, mom and dad were not the only children. They were not the only ones that had sons that Pharaoh was after. So apparently, Brother McCulley, they was parents that lost their children. Apparently there's those, and listen, I'm telling you, sometimes you can handle suffering, but that sorrow, as Brother Sutherland preached about last night, that sets on our trail, that follows you to bed at night, that takes your sleep from you. We don't understand the heartache and the disappointments. Young man that's helping us in our, well, he's not a young man. He'd appreciate I said that. Amen. He's older than me, but the man that's helping us in our church with our addiction ministry, and some of you may know him, Brother Brian Burr, his wife, he called me yesterday, or actually Tuesday, Monday afternoon, while we was at lunch or supper, and he said, Brother Allen, I need you to pray for my wife's family. Her sister and sister-in-law was killed in a car wreck this morning, and they were lost. They're on the way to meet a drug dealer, and pulled out in front of a semi-truck, ran a stop sign, and went into eternity. I'm telling you, Brother Brian's wife, Miss Shauna, has just buried her father, and hadn't been long, and I'm telling you, sorrow has gripped that family. And those of you as a pastor knows, I told Brother Brian, Brother Dorsey, I wish I could say something. I wish I could do something to. But I told him, I said, Brother Brian, my words are not sufficient. And I said, I'll come home if y'all need us to. And he said, no, preacher. He said, but just pray for us. And he said, God has given us grace. You know what he was saying? Preacher's a bad situation, but God's above it. God's above it. I think about his power. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. I was a Georgia Bulldog fan when I lived in Tennessee among all the Vols. Amen. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan in North Carolina because they don't have football teams up there. I found out the Carolina Panthers' number one problem is number one. Amen. And but I can't say that and get a laugh at my church, but I can say it here. Amen. But I'm telling you, Brother Davy Shelton's a good friend of mine. He's a Tennessee fan. I'm a Georgia fan. When we was playing Tennessee and Georgia, I had the phone dial one more digit to call him with 9 seconds left on the clock. You know why? Because I thought the dogs was above him. But I found out that Brother Davy told me, he said, you know how long it takes to teach a dog how to sit? I said, how long? He said, 9 seconds. Amen. Hey, you can be disappointed in your job. You can be disappointed in your church. You can be disappointed in your pastor and your friends, but you'll never be disappointed in him. He's above it all. Amen. Real quick, got just about 3 minutes left. Let me mention, he's above the sin of Egypt, the sovereign of Egypt. He's above the sin of Egypt. He's above the suffering of Egypt. He's above the sovereign of Egypt. But he is above the substance of Egypt. Can you see those telling Moses, just bide your time? Pharaoh will be dead. You're in line. He would have inherited everything. You're in line. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that he chose to suffer the he chose to reject the riches of Egypt. Amen. He chose the presence of God, greater riches than Egypt. Amen. I'm telling you, he is above it all. Let me tell you this, some of you that support Brother Nathan Kirkman out of our church in Logan, Utah. Brother Kirkman's been out there 4 years. When he was on deputation, we was in meetings together, and brethren would tell him, why in the world are you going to Utah? What are you going to do? You taking three girls out to Mormon country? I got up in a meeting with the permission of the pastor and said, shut up. Excuse me if you're not allowed to say that here, amen. Don't discourage him. The devil's doing enough to discourage him. Without the brethren lining up and saying, I wouldn't do that. I know that's the reason God didn't call you to do it. And God knows you wouldn't, amen. They told him, said, Brother Kirkman, you better get ready. You'll preach to your family the first year and a half while you're out there. And that's not happened yet. He's running about 50 people, led a lady to the Lord in her 70s that was a temple-worthy Mormon. If you understand Mormonism, if you don't, I'll talk to you a little bit more about it at lunch. But she come to the first service, and ended up, Miss Janice got saved, amen. Now her daughter's got saved. She's taught Brother Nathan how to witness to the Mormons. You know, the Mormon Bible don't have any maps in it because they can't prove anything's ever happened in their religion. They can't prove any of it. And we've been praying. We went out with him on the survey trip, and we saw a church building that was up for sale. And we've been praying and praying and praying, and at the time we couldn't afford to buy it. And Brother Kirkman was renting a building, a storefront building, and I told him, me and some of my men met New Year's night or Eve night and prayed the New Year in like many of you did. And I told him, I said, man, we're praying this year that God will give the Kirkmans a building, a permanent structure. There's nothing wrong with being in a storefront, but you know people's mentality, they think you're temporary. They don't know if you're going to be there. When you get an established building, they know you're there to stay. Amen. And Brother Kurtman called me the other day and said, "Preacher," said, long story, and I'm gonna shorten it up. I got about a minute left. But he said, "Preacher, we that building's back up for sale again. They only want $375,000 for it." He's above it all now. Remember that. And he said, "I just don't see how we can afford to make that payment. The church is growing, and we're taking in, but I still don't see how we can afford that payment." I said, "Brother Nathan, let's just pray." He said, "I'm going to make him an offer." He made him an offer. The guy turned him down flat. And he called me. We've been praying about a week specifically again over this building. He called me and said, "Preacher, I had a man that moved from out east for his job. And he said he was saved, was unsettled on eternal security, but he's been coming about 2 months. He come by the house Sunday night after church, said he wanted to talk to me. Said he got eternal security settled. Him and his wife wanted to join the church." And Brother Nathan said, "Man, I was excited." He said, "Miss Janice's daughter got saved that morning. Now this family's joining the church." And he said, "Well, Preacher, that's not all. I got something else to tell you." And he said, "I have a relative friend of mine that I've been telling him about this work. Now, this man's never been in Logan, Utah. This man's never walked into the Mount Logan Baptist Church. This man's never shook hands with Brother Nathan Kurtman." He said, "But I got something to tell you." He said, "What?" He said, "He wants to make a donation to the ministry. And on his stipulation, he don't want his name mentioned." That's different. I said, "How much does he want to donate?" He said, $250,000. He is above it all, amen. He's above the substance of Egypt. The man's come down to $360,000. Brother Nathan has a signed contract in hand. Lord willing, this week the bank will approve the remainder of the funds that he needs. Amen. I'm talking about a man that stepped out and said, "I believe God's above the Mormon religion. I believe God can plant a church. I want to remind you, child of God, he is above it all." Amen. Brother Nathan said, "Preacher, I'm hesitant to say that because some independent Baptists may think that I'm loaded now." I said, "That's all right." I said, "You brag on what God's done, son." I said, "They're dropping. You're just looking for a reason." That made me want to invest more in him. Amen. I'm talking about an established work, an established ministry. He said, "God is faithful. God is good." Brother Nathan was a shouting, rejoicing. Walked in that building, had his girls singing, "Hey, thank God. Thank God for his blessings." Amen. I'm talking about we serve a God that is above it all. Amen.